First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome, everybody, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. Always a pleasure to be with you and a pleasure to be a part of the guest host pool, if you will. And Alan Nathan is on assignment, but he wants you to know his motto. We want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. If you'd like to access the Alan Nathan Show, just go to www.mainstreetradionetwork.com. Well, we're going to jump right away to our guest, who I think we are talking to from Tel Aviv. She can tell me. I think we are. Her name is Ruthie Bloom, former advisor at the office of the Prime Minister Netanyahu, current senior contributing editor at JNS, award-winning columnist, co-host of Israel Undiplomatic podcast. Ruthie, good to have you along on such a newsworthy day.
Yes, well, thank you for having me.
Well, everybody is watching with bated breath. The word is at airtime here that Eden Alexander, Israeli and American hostage, has been released from Hamas, although we haven't seen him yet. People in New Jersey are waiting with bated breath. What can you tell us about this, and what do we need to know that the propaganda media doesn't ever tell us? That would take an hour, and I know you don't.
Okay, well, the latest is that he was released by Hamas to the Red Cross, that he was transferred to the Red Cross. And from there, the Red Cross has to bring him to an Israeli checkpoint or border where the army will be waiting for him, and then the transfer will take place. From there, he will go to, at that place, he will meet his family, and then they will, be flown by helicopter, if I'm not mistaken, to a hospital in Tel Aviv. Actually, his grandmother lives in Tel Aviv. So, he'll be taken to a hospital. This is what all the released hostages, the first thing after seeing their families, they have to get a medical checkup.
Sure.
And that includes physical, it includes a psychologist. And also, there's another element I don't think is discussed enough, refeeding. You know, people who are starved, it's very dangerous for them to just start eating. You know, so even that has to be monitored very closely.
The tragedy of how we learn that, forgive me, I have to throw this in, the tragedy of how we learn that was from Holocaust survivors who'd been starved for sometimes years, and some of them died because they ate too fast, too quickly, too much. Nobody knew that because people didn't know. I'm going to jump to this because I interrupted you. What were you going to say, if you remember? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that I think it's imperative to realize how horrific these conditions are for these people. And we know from released hostages that when Hamas is planning on releasing them, they begin to give them more food to try to make them look less emaciated and things like that. They also torture them psychologically by saying, you're going home, you're not going home, you know, that kind of thing. Just
of course.
Horrible torture. And with Idan Alexander, the worst part was that aside from having released two separate videos of him begging for his release and, you know, pleading for his life, et cetera, when the last time they said, well, we would release him, but we lost track of him. We don't know where he's being held.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Talk about torturing families. And it's just, there are no words to describe the barbaric behavior of Hamas.
Ruthie, I'm glad, sadly, that you laid that out, because at the news break, I heard that Hamas claimed they were releasing Idan Alexander as a, quote, goodwill gesture. Now, the people who believe this propaganda garbage on college campuses don't really know they are responsible for the torture and the barbarism, and now they're claiming a goodwill gesture? Your comments on that.
Well, exactly. Hamas does not perform goodwill gestures, not even to other people in Gaza, let alone Jew and Israelis. Okay, that's a lie. It's not a goodwill gesture. It is based on interests, and one of which is to drive a wedge between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Okay, why?
No doubt.
Because
yes.
What is this cause? First of all, this release does not involve Israel having to release terrorists or cease firing, you know, stopping the war, and even uh-huh. temporarily, just for the moment he was released. Okay, so it's a way of saying to Trump, you see, we're good guys. We're going to give you. It's Netanyahu's fault that the rest of the hostages are still in tunnels. That's one thing, and it also causes a rift within Israeli society because a lot of the families of the other hostages are saying, wow, just because we don't have an American passport, we're stuck here. You know, our kids are stuck
yes.
there.
Of course.
It's orchestrated, it's not a goodwill
yes.
gesture.
Not in any way. And they play, you're pointing out that they play on the weakest and the most vulnerable sensibilities of people who are already suffering, the families of the hostages, Israel, the country itself. It is maddening. Tough question to ask you, Ruthie, but when you see propaganda media in America and all across the world that characterize the story as the exact opposite of what it is, not even taking into account basic facts, how do you make it through when you see that much flip-flop lies that are clear, even to a biased person for the opposition? You know that they're lying. It's like saying, yeah, Biden was sharp as a tack. Same kind of thing.
Right, exactly. Well, there are different degrees of lies. Okay, there's the lies, the anti-Semitic ones, saying, you know, Israel's committing genocide, and, you know, the protests on college campuses where they're actually saying, kill the Jews. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that that's anti-Semitic, right? I mean, you're saying, kill the Jews.
You shouldn't have to be, but, no. No, you shouldn't have to be.
No, you shouldn't have to be. But where the mainstream, I don't even like that word, but, you know, I guess you could say the legacy media.
I call them the propaganda media because they're not legitimate anymore.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. And by the way, Israel, we have our propaganda media, too.
I know.
When you have a liberal democracy, you've got a lot of leftists, and they run the media for the most part. They dominate it. They don't run it. They dominate it.
Right.
So the narrative now in Israel, even the left-wing media, what their way of saying, of attacking, is not by saying that necessarily that we're committing genocide in Gaza, but by saying that Prime Minister Netanyahu has the blood of everyone on his hands, as opposed to Hamas, you see.
Yeah.
Netanyahu, if he would just end the war, that kind of thing.
Of course.
That's what they're
as
doing
if here. Hamas
now,
cares
how,
about
yeah.
life, right? So they're pretending
exactly.
that they care about life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'd like to just add one thing. It really drives me crazy because the reason that Israel has not won this war yet, aside from the Biden administration really hindering our ability to do so, aside from that, okay, because Trump has been president now, you know, since January, the reason that we cannot finish the job swiftly, even though President Trump said, listen, if they don't return all the hostages by the time I'm inaugurated, all hell can break loose. And he did not tie our hands at all. But here's the catch. Netanyahu does care about human life. And the protesters in the streets of Israel were saying, get the hostages out. And if you, you know, blitz much in Gaza, you're endangering them, which is true. It is true. They're right. But as a result, we're being extremely careful. And because of being extremely careful, we can't swiftly finish the job. And instead of saying that Netanyahu is doing a humanitarian thing, his, the opposition here is accusing him of killing the hostages. So it's really enraging.
Yeah. I'm about to make a really bad joke. Netanyahu is between Iraq. Netanyahu is between an Iraq and a hard place. He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. You can use that if it helps. Ruthie Bloom, I wish we had more time.
You.
It's a great day for Americans, Israelis, Jews, anybody who loves liberty and decency. Thank you for your time. We appreciate you. Well, we're off and running. We're going to take a break. We'll have more. We're just getting started on the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
It's no secret that everyone wants to live a healthier life, but how many of us really do what it takes to make that happen? A new book lays out easy steps you can take to bring you closer to that goal. Dr. Brian Clement is the author of Quantum Human, an easy-to-read guide to wellness that provides a historic and scientifically validated roadmap on how to stop aging, prevent disease, and getting the most out of life.
Our many years of research have led us to realize how important it is to pay attention to our foods, our thoughts, and the activities we participate in. And more important is our relationships and sense of community.
Dr. Clement's message is one of empowerment. He says that each of us can harness energy and raise our biofrequency through conscious actions. And by doing so, we can heal ourselves and contribute to a more harmonious and connected world.
It's no mystery in Quantum Human we have explored the science of energy healing and the human potential and show how everyone can improve their lives and take their health back.
For more information, visit BrianClementPhD.com.
It's been 5 years since the COVID-19 pandemic began, yet nurses continue to face significant stress and burnout. Brendan Martin, Research Director for the National Council of State Boards of Nursing, or NCSBN, has more.
The nursing community is facing persistent challenges, with nurses continuing to leave the field in record numbers. In fact, our 2024 National Nursing Workforce Study finds nearly 2 in 5 nurses plan to leave the profession by 2029.
More than 138,000 nurses left the profession since 2022, and a lot more nurses intend to leave the field within the next 5 years. Nurses face similar challenges across all levels and experience.
40% of nurses expressed that stress and burnout are among the top reasons for considering a job change. They also mentioned heavy workloads, understaffing, and feeling underpaid contributed to their desire to leave.
For more information on the National Council of State Boards of Nursing 2024 Workforce Study, visit ncsbn.org/workforce.
To the Alan Nathan Show, as mentioned, we are just getting started here on the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who is on assignment. We have up next President and CEO of the Remy I Group, Inc., and author of Be Smart, Pay Zero Taxes, Use the Buy, Borrow, Die strategy to get rich and stay rich. Mark Kwan joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Mark.
How are you? Happy to be on the show, man. Thanks for having me, Karen.
Yes, it's good to have you too. So clearly, you and I, and I'd say most of the conservatives in the audience, there are some I'm sure who are not, who listen to the Alan Nathan Show, understand that paying less taxes to the government, starving the government power, is always a good thing. It's what DOGE is really all about, to make government live within its means and actually make government smaller, because with big government is more power. So in that vein, even though this is just speculation, and I'm not too worried about it just yet, it came out in the news that Trump is considering a tax hike on Americans making $2.5 million or more per year. Conservatives don't like that. I don't like that. I'm not going to believe it till I see it. What say you?
Personally, any American, they can live in any state, can reduce their tax bill to zero. So if that happens, hey, they can call me and I'll reduce their tax bill to zero. anybody can do this. And I know that sounds like that may not be possible. But I was a financial advisor for 15 years, a top investment advisor. I used to train hundreds of financial advisors, and I was the financial advisor for CPAs. The truth is that even CPAs and financial advisors don't understand the tax system, and they don't know how to reduce their tax bill to zero. And that's why I had to write this book. This is my fourth book. I've written another book. This is my second bestseller. And it's possible. And the strategy that they can use is called buy, borrow, die. Any American of any income can legally exit the tax system if they understand the strategies in the book.
Okay. Now you've given me a dilemma, because I want to go in that direction, then I want to go in policy, you know, and we don't have much time. But the policy of even raising taxes, forget that there's ways to get around it. You know, we don't want to tax people's productivity. But why don't we hear from you, what does, in the Cliff Notes version of what is buy, borrow, die strategy? What is that?
Buy, borrow, die strategy comes from the University of Southern California. It was a huge study done in the 1990s to understand how people get super wealthy and pass that wealth to their heirs and pay no taxes. And it's a very, very simple strategy. Buy assets, stocks, ETFs, things like that in your brokerage account. You can do it with gold and precious metals, Bitcoin, real estate, insurance, and then you never, ever sell it. Rather than sell it, which would trigger the taxes, you simply borrow from one asset to fund the other asset, and you build your wealth. Nothing is ever taxable, and then you can pass all those assets to your family tax-free, and you can teach your kids the same buy, borrow, die strategy, and you can build massive generational wealth and pay very little in taxes. Anybody can do it.
Yeah, that does make sense. Totally makes sense. Yeah. People do it accidentally almost when they buy property that they live in, their primary residence. Obviously, they're not planning on selling it if suddenly the real estate values go down, because they understand naturally that that's a paper loss. If they don't sell, nothing happens. But somehow when you buy other assets, you're always dying to sell if it goes down just a little bit, right?
Well, yeah, people don't realize they're actually doing buy, borrow, die. I lived in California for 20 something years. I obviously got out of there and I moved to Tennessee. My wife and I, we just wanted a little house to come into Tennessee. So we bought a house with $400,000 house, right? We put 3% down. So what are we bought, but we also borrowed most of the money, which we did not have to spend our time working for. We did not have to pay taxes. So $388,000 of that mortgage, we just borrowed it. We didn't work for it. So that's the buy borrow. If we never sold this house, you could die tax-free and technically put $12,000, and then we have a $400,000 asset growing, and it's already gone up quite a lot since we got here. So they're actually doing buy, borrow, die, but then people make a mistake. They send in extra principal payments to pay off the house. That's not what the rich are doing. They're not trying to get out of debt. They'll eventually borrow from that property to buy another property. They'll use buy, borrow, die again. But again, people have been taught to say, work hard, save your money, get good credit, put money in a retirement account. That's exactly the opposite of what the wealthy are doing.
Gotcha. Mark, what do you think? Again, we're only speculating. I think that what Trump is doing overall is astonishing, and it's like my birthday every day. I talk to a lot of people who feel the same way. They're only talking about a $2.5 million taxing $2.5 million earners or more per year. What do you think about that?
I personally, it's not going to affect me. Because I know how to not pay taxes. But I mean, there has to be tax revenue somewhere. They can't tax the middle class. I'm more worried about the middle class than anything than anybody else. I wrote this book for middle Americans. I grew up a construction worker. I'm a high school and college dropout. But I'm 47, and my wife we do very well because we use the buy, borrow, die strategy. So for us, I mean, we have to get our tax revenue from somewhere. Obviously, tariffs are a great way to bring jobs back to the country, manufacturing, and just
right. And this is equalizing the trade thing. It's not protectionist trade. It's equalizing the trade deficit when we're subsidizing other countries. Leftists can't seem to understand or appreciate that. And just from a standpoint of free market economics, taxing people because they earned a lot is a backwards way of thinking. And I just don't see Donald Trump as a backwards thinker. He is a billionaire everyman. He's an astonishing combination of many things, but he doesn't believe in punishing people because they do well. That's what communism is all about, is it not?
Correct, 100%. Now, the United States fell into the trap of reward the lazy and penalize the productive people in the world.
Yeah, you know, how about that?
But yeah, you know, I mean, it's like I represent middle America. I wrote a book that took billionaire tax strategies and I made it simple and easy to understand so construction workers can do it. You know, we actually start people with $100 in a brokerage account. So anybody can use this strategy, but they need to get educated of the basics like Bitcoin. People go, what is that? Are you kidding me? It's going to be the most valuable assets in the world, and people still don't understand. So we have chapters on even how to do buy, borrow, die with Bitcoin, you know? So,
well, you know, I wish we had more time. Maybe we could have you stay on for one more segment. Do you want to talk specifically about Bitcoin for the person who's terrified to hear anything about it? If you could explain that, you know,
I'm happy to do that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to Bitcoin 2025. So.
Okay. Well, why don't you hang on and we'll talk Bitcoin with Mark Kwan when we get back, because he's graciously agreed to stay with us to talk about that. And who knows? You never know. Something else. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we will be back after this. Don't go away.
So Zuzu is the story of an adorable hermit crab that actually mistakes a piece of plastic for its shell. There's a short film on joinzuzu.com that is this extraordinary short film about Zuzu's story, but also there's a petition online where people can go and easily, in just moments, sign this petition to advocate for federal EPR legislation. This is so important because this allows us to create a national strategy of collective action to scale up a solution to fix the recycling problem in this country. So I partnered with SC Johnson on the Zuzu movement because SC Johnson is one of those rare companies that is out at the forefront of this issue and pushing to recognize that companies have a responsibility to play in the system. It's not just about consumers recycling. Companies and the products that they create need to be recyclable. They need to take responsibility for the life cycle of those products, and that's what SC Johnson is doing. And for more information, go to joinzuzu.com and sign the petition.
The fan favorite series Leverage Redemption returns for its third season April 17th on Prime Video. The show follows a team of reformed criminals who prove sometimes it's good to be bad as they use their less than legal skills to help those in need fight back against the rich and powerful. In season 3, the team pits themselves against a power broker stealing the town's clean water, a pool hustler with a side business in international extortion, and a corrupt mayor who's the judge and jury of his small town, all while dodging a plan of vengeance from a past enemy. But no matter what, when someone needs help, they provide the leverage. Elise Shannon plays Brianna Casey, a brilliant engineer and hacker.
Audiences will love this new season. It's filled with big surprises, major action, lots of humor, and as always, a lot of heart. My character Brianna is still learning about the world of cons, but she brings her own spin to everything. Snarky humor, it's high tech, and she helps the team stop some truly awful people.
Don't miss Leverage Redemption, April 17th on Prime Video.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who is on assignment. So, Mark Kwan has graciously agreed to stay with us. He is author of Be Smart, Pay Zero Taxes, Use the Buy, Borrow, Die Strategy to Get Rich and Stay Rich. Thank you, Mark, for staying with us. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'm having Good. Fun. This is what I do for fun.
Well, wonderful. I think we're having fun here, too.
Absolutely.
Let's focus, zero in on Bitcoin. Give us, again, the cliff notes or the layman's explanation of why the everyday, as you put it, the middle class, working class person ought to care about Bitcoin and how they can understand it.
Okay. So first of all, I say generally take everything you've ever learned about finances and money, just delete it. Start from scratch. Money should have three characteristics. We should agree it has value. Enough people agree it has value. It should be easily transferable, and it must have a limited supply. Okay. So our current things, Federal Reserve notes, they don't have unlimited supply. They can be created in currents in computers by pressing buttons. I call it toilet paper money, U.S. dollars, because if you invested in toilet paper 5 years ago, it would have been a great investment. The U.S. dollar is going down. It's going to continue to devalue itself. So you have to buy something with limited supply. Bitcoin is the only asset ever created that has the characteristics of money ever in human history that has an ultimate limited supply of 21 million. Currently, 95% of it is already existent, meaning the remaining 5% is going to have to be shared by the rest of the world, which means countries, corporations, and the entire world are going to have to share in the remaining 5% of the Bitcoin in the world.
So my own memory of even trying to delve into Bitcoin, I was confronted with all of these names, labels, types of Bitcoin. And since it was totally foreign to me, like foreign coinage, I didn't really understand. Is this all Bitcoin? Is it partly Bitcoin? What is it? And how does, again, the layman person, I'm one of those when it comes to Bitcoin.
All right.
How do they wade through all that and throw out the chaff so they can understand the basics of, say, investing in it or buying it or whatever people want to do?
Well, I use five different assets for investing. I use stocks and ETFs, life insurance, real estate, cryptocurrency, and gold and precious metals. And I always make sure to buy where I can borrow from it. So this is all covered in the book. Fortunately, Bitcoin is a little bit complicated in the past. Now, you can just buy a Bitcoin ETF. For example, you could put $50 in a Bitcoin ETF in your brokerage account or $100 and then just keep buying it. The idea is you want to keep buying it, never sell it. Forever, keep buying it forever, and then just basically pass it to your heirs. When you buy a Bitcoin ETF, they must buy the Bitcoin, right? And they hold it in reserve to back the coin. So it's very easy today to do it. You can start with $100 and basically, but the plan is simple. The plan is simple for all your assets. Keep buying them, never stop buying them, never sell them. If you ever need cash, just take a low interest loan secured by the Bitcoin or the real estate or the gold and precious metals or the whatever, and you're doing the strategy that billionaires use.
Yes, except that some people need an investment that will generate income that you don't borrow against in order to pay high interest rates, because you're not, you know, you want to be able to have it generate income, something with which I'm more familiar. Investment real estate or investments that have dividends or those kinds of things. So is that true of Bitcoin?
No, you can. There's things called covered calls. There's things called synthetic covered calls. Again, dig too deep dives.
We're getting into the weeds and I'm going, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what he's talking about.
I'll give you an example of changing the way people think about money. Let's say somebody bought $15,000 of NVIDIA stock 10 years ago. The portfolio would be worth about $3.6 million. Okay?
Right.
Let's say you said, I never want to work and I never want to pay taxes again. It would be simple. assuming that NVIDIA stock, which is artificial intelligence, keeps growing at 5%, at 15% per year, which is incredibly reasonable, the portfolio would double every 5 years. So you'd have 3.5 million. 5 years later, you'd have 7 million. 5 years later, you'd have 14 million. You would actually just live off the borrow button. You would just take low interest loans, send them to your bank account, and you would never work and you would never pay taxes for the rest of your life. And all you did was invest $15,000 10 years ago. This is what the rich do. They buy stocks, ETFs, life insurance, real estate, gold and precious metals. They never sell it. And they can literally just live off the loans.
Well, doesn't the interest rate matter? I mean, everybody's arguing about the interest rate right now. So if you...
I borrow at five and a quarter right now whenever I want. There's no application, no credit check. It doesn't report to my credit. And there's no required payments on the loans. So
who do you borrow from that you have none of that? Who do you borrow from that? Or are you giving away trade secrets? What?
Robinhood and M1 Finance are the two companies that are set up well for the buy, borrow, die strategy. And anyone can start with $100 in their brokerage account. Once you're over $2,000, you could literally do the same strategy that billionaires use. But again, when markets crash, you should be excited because you just keep buying forever. I love it when stock market crashes. I mean, other people are scared because they're watching the fake news and all that stuff. And like, just keep buying forever. You'll get wealthy so much faster in down markets than you will in up markets.
Well, that's true. I mean, that has been demonstrated right now in the times we're living in. And that gives me an opportunity, because we do a lot of politics here, to mention how the former vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, was positively giddy when Tesla stock dropped like below $225 a share. And that was because domestic terrorists targeted the company with violence and sabotage, you know, set Teslas on fire. You know, those electric cars that they used to love, suddenly they hate. How unhappy must Tim Walz be today that it's currently trading at about $321 a share?
Well, $321 is going to be cheap within the next 5 years, because Cathie Woods, who owns ARK, said Tesla valuation is going to go to $5 trillion in the next 5 years. So I think it's a possibility with the things. But again, I own Tesla stock. I don't recommend people buy it. This is not financial advice. But I have one simple plan. I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to keep buying it forever. I'm going to buy NVIDIA stock forever. I'm never going to sell it. I'm never going to pay taxes. And then I can go sit on the beach, press the borrow button, send money to my bank account, and I never work, and I never pay taxes. So,
and it sounds a little like financial advice, but you have a book to sell.
Technically, I'm not regulated, because I used to be a financial advisor and investment advisor. And here's the crazy part. If somebody is a financial advisor and investment advisor, if they teach their clients this, they're fired for called selling away. There's a reason that this strategy has never been available to the middle.
Selling away. What does that mean, selling away?
It's where they have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. So people call themselves a financial advisor, but they have a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders. If they suggested something that's not available at their broker, they're immediately fired and terminated and blacklisted from the financial industry forever. So the thing is, I'm not a financial advisor, but I'm an author, and I'm allowed to talk about my books because it's not considered financial advisor. But again,
what do you tell people?
People start with $100, right?
What do you tell people who aren't like they're in their 60s, 70s, 80s? What do you tell them? Can they start doing this at this point? Or
absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't know if a big financial education company. We've taught about 500 ordinary Americans the buy, borrow, die strategy. And it was actually Newsmax that reached out to me in 2023 and asked me if it was possible to write a book on the strategies that I was teaching to ordinary Americans. So this book exists partly because Newsmax asked me to write it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I kind of get the feeling that you are not really prone to talking about what we like to call, I don't know, hardcore politics. Do you?
Sure, let's jump into it.
Do you?
I'll talk about the Democratic Party.
Well, unfortunately, we have to go in about a minute.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the floor so you can just wrap up whatever you want to wrap up in our discussion. What are your final thoughts?
Buy, borrow, die is the most powerful strategy. I've spent 60,000 hours studying finances and wrote 4 books. Buy, borrow, die is the most powerful strategy ever created in the history of the world. And you're not going to be taught it unless you read this book.
All righty. Thank you so much for joining us, Mark Kwan. I'm sure you can get his book at where great books are sold. Be smart, pay zero taxes. Thank you. We're going to take
fun.
Great. Thank you. We're going to take a break and we're going to wrap up this hour talking about that U.S.-Chinese trade deal that we've been alluding to. Don't go away. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit AARP.org/Fraud Watch Network. That's AARP.org/Fraud Watch Network.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we are moving off just a stunning amount of news that came in on a Sunday, mind you, when other people, not everybody, but the Trump administration does not take days off. They are... an astonishing, it's like breakneck speed for President Trump and all that he wants to accomplish. On a Sunday, he made announcements both on Truth Social and generally, let's see, probably on X as well. In fact, that's probably where I saw it. It was amazing. I looked yesterday to get an idea of what was happening, and there were announcements, I don't have it in front of me, announcements of which we already talked about, the release and negotiation of the American-Israeli hostage, Eidan Alexander. He brokered a ceasefire between India and Pakistan, both of whom have nuclear weapons. Russia and Ukraine peace deal, they're currently on track for another ceasefire so they can continue negotiating. Donald Trump has proven that he is an anti-war candidate, an anti-war president in the best sense. That's somebody who doesn't want to see bloodshed on either side. He's been characterized exactly the opposite, even though in his first term, it was markedly, markedly different. There was peace through strength in his first term. I love hearing myself say that. And then the 4 years in between from President Otto Penn, we saw wars breaking out everywhere, including the Democrats who always claimed to be anti-war, anti-war, anti-war. That was only when the warmongers in the Republican Party, and there are some, and sometimes there's a reason to fight a war, when they were in power. But when Democrats are in power and start wars, then it's give them billions upon billions of dollars. They never saw a war that they didn't like. There's a trade deal with China. We're about to talk with a guest. We could talk about that. I'm going to have to kind of interrupt myself in order to speak with our guest. The point of ticking these off is that it is an astonishing day, and it is causing nothing but headaches for the Democrats who never saw anything positive about Donald Trump that they were prepared to admit. Here we have to talk about that. What a strange segue. We are going to talk about China with Brian Reisinger, award-winning columnist and consultant. Reisinger worked with his father on his farm from the time he could walk before entering the worlds of business, journalism, and public policy. His work has appeared in outlets such as USA Today, Real Clear Politics, and The Hill, and he's author of Land Rich and Cash Poor, My Family's Hope, and the Untold History of the Disappearing American Farmer. Brian Reisinger, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's good to be with you.
Good. I was watching Victor Davis Hanson over the weekend, another brilliant intellectual who's a farmer. It's very, very important. Yes, we should all learn to farm if we get to be as smart as some of you guys are. And you're here to talk about the U.S.-China agreement that Donald Trump has just made. And, of course, the Democrats are trying to downplay it. What can you tell us about that based on what we all right now know? It's a moving story. It's a changing story.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. As you say, it's a moving target right now. What we know at the moment is that the United States and China have announced that they've agreed to a 90-day pause on most tariffs. That is a very big deal in the sense that China is really, I mean, it's one of our largest, if not, depending on the crop or product, the largest trading partner in the world. Now, many people would like to trade with other countries more than China, and many people would like to draw a tougher line on China. That's part of what President Trump's been trying to do. But the reality is that if there is an agreement with China to decrease tariffs and to put into place some kind of a trade deal, this is a massive, massive opportunity. And the real question is, where is the deal going to land and how is it going to treat family farms in this country? But it's something that's going to require tough negotiations to make sure to draw hard lines with China, stop them from cheating, stop them from doing things that have been hurting our farmers. But there's also a lot of opportunity because it's a very large market.
Yeah. Brian, I'll tell you, from a really big picture point of view, when you look at what Donald Trump has been working on in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in Kashmir with India and Pakistan, if you look a little carefully, you can see the pattern of what he's trying to do. He cares about peace. He cares about economic strength. Isn't it true that if we have mutually assured destruction economically, it can be just as powerful, I'm saying a pretty dramatic thing, as mutually assured destruction that we used to hear in the 80s with Reagan and that sort of thing with weapons? If you can start to trade and have a trade partner and it's fair and it's equal, that's where equality is really important, then you have less likelihood that they're out there going to try to destroy you. Is that not true, that economic success and peace work hand in hand?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the reality is that China does need America. China needs America's agricultural products and so many other things to be imported into China. And China also needs to be able to sell its goods into America. And so that mutually assured destruction is absolutely something that we need to bear in mind. And really, that's the way that the relationship began. It was much more about opening markets to one another and trying to build that economic trust. And over time, especially in the 90s and early 2000s, is when China began to cheat. They began to manipulate their currency. They began to buy a lot of American agricultural products and then suddenly dump those products to depress the prices. So farmers know they've been getting screwed by China for decades. And I think that the hope would be that this deal can be negotiated in a tough enough way to be able to wipe some of that out.
Could you repeat what you said? When did that start? When was that China started doing that, really ripping off in a dramatic to a dramatic degree?
Yeah, it really, in terms of becoming to a dramatic degree, it really picked up in the 2000s, I will say. I mean, it was progressing throughout the 90s, but in the 2000s is when they really started to rip us off. And it's something that needed to be righted.
Yeah. Brian, how can people find you, follow you real quick?
Absolutely. On my website, brian-reisinger.com, Brian-Reisinger, Reisinger.com.
Reisinger, not Reisinger, but Reisinger. I'm corrected.
There you go.
Thank you, Brian, for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we have a whole nother hour of the Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.